Thanks for joining us on the audio version of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. We're also available on YouTube and Rumble for full HD goodness. JBBibleandBourbon.com/social is going to have all of our social media links, all the ways that you can watch, like, comment, subscribe, listen, and also support us on Patreon. We have multiple Patreon tiers. At the Apostle and Disciple tier, you get monthly time with JB and I and end of your swag. At our Apostle tier, you get to come on a show or nominate someone else, whatever you're comfortable with.
On today's episode, JB and I talk about confrontation as we continue through the book of Acts, and we continue our journey through 2XO with the tribute blend.
Now sit back, settle in, let's go. Cue the intro.
Shiver me timbers and all welcome back to a pirate filled X marks the spot adventure of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk.
All right.
Hey, on this podcast, we talk about things we're passionate about.
We do.
We talk about Jesus, the Holy Scriptures, studying the Bible.
Yeah.
We're also passionate about good whiskey. So we have a couple drinks while we discuss Jesus and the Scriptures. I am passionate about pirate treasure too, I guess.
Clearly. And
so
clearly.
I'm JB. I'm a.
You're what?
I'm JB. Mm-hmm. I'm a pastor at a Reformed church in Ohio. With me, still in person.
In person.
In person.
Yeah.
Is my Buccaneer, Fancy Rob.
There it is. Well, welcome in, everyone. So JB actually doesn't know that.
I don't.
Yeah. So anyway, I was going to make a timely for now comment.
Okay.
That would have been 3 months old by the time this shows. So
stale.
So it would have been stale. It would have been dog water. So,
bruh.
Yeah. So thank you, JB.
You don't know the vibe, bruh.
So thank you, JB. I am Fancy Rob.
Yes, you are.
And, you know, welcome.
Shiver me timbers.
Welcome into our humble recording studio for this week.
So, how humble is it really? I'm looking over my right shoulder.
Yeah, it's not as humble, is it?
It's not so humble. Anyways.
It's humble and it's not. We're not bragging about it. So how's that?
I just bragged for you.
You did. So I didn't, though. I'm still humble. Of course, JB, if there's an award for the most humble, JB still wins.
I say it's hard to be humble, man.
We might tie for first in the most humble velocity. I'm Fancy Rob. You want to find out more about us in general, JB's humility, all of those things, jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. That's going to have all of our social media information. It's also going to have how you can watch or listen. I recommend watch, but hey, if you're driving, listening is good. So our podcatchers, YouTube and Rumble is all there. Like, comment, subscribe, share, tell all your friends about it. It's definitely, you can definitely have some fun going back and catching up. We've had a few new listeners that have listened to, that have listened to an episode and then go back to the beginning. God love them. go back to the beginning and check us out. It depending on if they watch the video or just listen to the audio, they'll hear JB misrepresent a grain in one of the whiskeys. Yes.
I even said publish it. I don't care.
You did. I fixed it in the video.
I own up to my mistakes, though.
I still feel bad for him. Actually, I only remembered it because I listened to it. It came on my podcast today when I was outside walking the dog. So go back through and listen to all the episodes, however many we are. I think we're in the 60s now. All of those episodes. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social is also going to tell you how you can come alongside of us and support us on Patreon.
Yeah.
At our Apostle and Disciple tier, you get year-end swag. You get monthly time with JB and I. At the Apostle tier, you get to either come on or nominate someone to come on and help host a show with us. You get to be the guest, be our guest. And I've already done that joke.
Yes.
You get
just
to
last episode.
You get to be our guest.
You're such a beast, man.
I am. Wow. I am the beauty. You get to be our guest and come alongside and either talk about the poor or work through the message with us.
Or if you have your own message.
If you have your own message.
That you want to use that we could talk about, we're open to that too.
We are open to that. So jbbibleandbourbon.com/social is going to have all of that information.
Yeah. And so you said if you're driving, perhaps you should listen.
Perhaps.
But if somebody else is driving.
Right. You watch.
You can watch.
You absolutely
can watch. Because I think about, instances where, say, my wife and I go somewhere. Sure. My wife tends to do a lot of the driving. Mm-hmm. So I have time to watch things on my phone or my tablet.
Sure.
Or let's say you own Kit from Knight Rider.
Who doesn't?
You have Knight, you know, Kit right. driving you around, David Hasselhoff, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so he could watch.
He could watch.
Absolutely. You
that
know,
makes sense.
You know, recently he sold part of his name for $10 million.
Oh, yeah?
I hope it was worth the hassle.
I mean, it's off now, so. Oh, you know what? Let's, gosh, let's have a drink.
Yeah, yeah, let's That's, do that.
You have the first.
No. Nope.
I have the first pour.
That's a negative.
I have the first pour. A little bit of a throwback, so we're going to go with the Whiskey War, the basic offering, the 44%, 88 proof.
I hear proof is in the pudding.
It is in the pudding. I like pudding.
Are we having pudding?
I could go for some pudding.
I will say, I could go for some nanner pudding.
We're going to have plenty of pudding in that nursing home that we run.
Today, as we talk about the future of pudding in our geriatric age, we're also going to continue in our series called Acts of God with the message that we're calling Acting on God's Confrontation. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be times in life where God confronts us either in our sins or in mission, or God confronts us with things that we don't want to do that he wants us to do. And we need to be ready to respond to God in the right way. So in our passage today, we're actually going to see God confronting two different individuals, and we're going to see their reactions to what God directs them to do. So before we get into the message, Rob, would you pray for us?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again, just for the privilege and honor to come before you, to talk through your word, to share stories, to laugh, to have fellowship, to share some pours, to just give an opportunity for people to come together in fellowship. Father, we pray that the words that are on my brother's heart, Father, our conversation is fruitful. Father God, I just pray that it be a blessing to someone here that's watching and listening whenever that happens to be. Father, we just pray that those seeds are planted. We pray that those seeds get watered and that those listening to us and watching us hear your call in their life and heed it. Father, we give this over to you, and we thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So I'm going to start in Acts chapter 9. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 6. And what this is Saul reacting to God confronting him. And so it says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way," that's Christians, anybody who follows Jesus, men or women, "he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. We look at the conversation of Saul as one of the most... It's a stunning, it's an astonishing, and it's amazing conversion. It's probably one of the most amazing conversions in the Bible. First of all, because of the quickness of the conversion, because he got hit by this light and he's like, oh, hold on. Also because of the person who Saul was before this conversion. You know, previously, you know, he was at the stoning of Stephen, approving of his murder. Previously, he was uttering curses and threatening to kill Christians. And now here at the beginning of Acts chapter 9, we see him enraged, right? Angry towards Christians. He's kind of like frothing at the mouth, ready to just murder them.
Yeah.
It says he can bring them in, you know, bound in chains to Jerusalem. Luke describes a man so angry and hateful at Christians that he was breathing threats and murder towards anyone who believed in Jesus. He's heading to Damascus on his epic journey to murder Christians. He wanted to end Christianity. I kind of likened it to Order 66 because that's who I am. I'm a nerd.
Right.
You know, ending the Jedi. Saul was really just so laser focused. There was nothing that was going to stop him.
Yeah.
You know, in his mission to bring an end to Christianity. But then, boom.
Yeah.
Jesus knocks him.
Boom, bam, pow.
Boom, bam, pow. There's this flash of light. And, you know, Saul is just shook to his core, right? And he says, "Who are you, Lord?"
Yeah. And like you said, it is such a drastic conversion. And like you said, the immediate 180, the quickness, but also obviously it's a, this is one that I go back to a lot when talking to people and trying to talk them through their past and their sins, because you probably didn't try to eradicate all the Christians in your region.
No.
So let's focus on that.
Yeah.
So it's also, you know, just incredibly jarring. Really that way. And I think that the wonderful thing from that, and the wonderful thing that comes from us turning around in our sin, Paul after this speaks with such boldness.
Mm-hmm.
Because he understands the difference, dramatically understands the difference between where he was and where he is.
Yeah.
He has that, you know, a couple episodes ago when JB mentioned how to tell, you know, tell your testimony to witness to people, to share that gospel message through your life and the history. And I think this is like the perfect example of so dramatically mm-hmm. clear who you were before, what happened, and who you were after. Obviously, ours are hopefully not going to be this dramatic.
Not always.
But if they are, and you've turned, praise God, right?
Yeah.
The testimony that you have is incredibly powerful.
Yeah. So with this encounter, one of the interesting things is the quickness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's no long and heated debate between mm-hmm. Jesus and Paul. And Paul's reaction to God's confrontation, we see sorrow over what he has yeah. done. We see humility mm-hmm. as he recognizes that it is God speaking to him. And then we see obedience to God's will yeah. because he gets up and he does go to Jerusalem. So mm-hmm. now we've looked at Saul's conversation.
Yeah.
Next, we're going to look at a man named Ananias.
Absolutely. So we'll take a look at Ananias in Acts 9, 10 through 17. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he may regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard so many things about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. The Lord said to him, go, for he is the chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the king of the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. So, yeah, Ananias's reaction in a incredibly difficult situation. I mean, most of us won't call back a person we don't like, let alone mm-hmm. Go somewhere where you think yeah. it is highly likely that you're going to be killed.
Right. I think his objections are logical,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. But what we see, though, is a quickness with Ananias. Mm-hmm. Like, he started well in this conversation
yeah,
with God.
Absolutely.
Like, he said, here I am, Lord.
Yeah.
That was his immediate response. Mm-hmm. He was ready to respond to God. He was, you know, he wanted to do the Lord's work until, like you said, he found out it was to help.
Yeah. Oh, it's
Saul.
That.
Oh, it's all. Oh, oh, Lord. No. You got the wrong yeah,
I'm
guy.
Playing pickleball this afternoon. I can't do that.
I don't have time for Saul of Tarsus. But God, in his patience, right? He explained his grace to Ananias. He said, yes, Saul was previously evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he previously persecuted Christians, but now he was God's chosen instrument to yeah. bring the gospel to the Gentiles. So Saul was not beyond the grace of God, and that's mm-hmm. what he was trying to tell Ananias. And that's a wonderful reminder for all of us that no matter the things that we have done,
yeah.
no matter how big we think our sin is, God's grace is bigger. And that's what Ananias had to be reminded of. And that is God's amazing grace.
Yeah.
And so then he goes and he extends that grace to Paul.
Mm.
After being encouraged by God to yeah. go do his will, he overcomes his shortcomings, overcomes his hesitations, and he goes to Paul and yeah. he prays for him. Paul receives grace. He receives healing. And he's not only healed of his physical blindness, healed of his spiritual blindness of who Jesus is. God's confrontation is something that is going to happen at some point in our Christian life.
Yeah.
God loves us for who we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. There will be moments when God confront us and bring us face to face with our sins, face to face with difficulty, face to face with a call to action. And we must be ready to respond. And that's the first point of this message, is that God will confront you. You know, how will you respond? Like I said, he's going to confront you at some point. You can respond with excuses,
right?
Objections. You can respond with procrastination. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll get back to you later, Lord. Or you can respond ready and excited to do the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to respond when God tells you that the way you are living isn't his will? You know, how will you respond when he asks you to proclaim the news of Jesus? How will you respond when he asks you to reach out to the person that's different than you, kind of like he did with Ananias?
Yeah, not just different.
but somebody hostile who wants to murder you. Yeah. So, you know, when we look at this passage in Acts 9, there are three ways that we must respond to God when he confronts us in our lives. The first way is to respond ready, with an open heart and an open mind. And both of the calls that God made in this passage, both to Paul and to Ananias, were difficult ones.
Yeah.
Saul had to confront who he was, completely change who he was, and now basically switch teams.
Yeah. And he wasn't just, okay, all right, stop murdering people. Okay, cool. It was, you are going to give up all of your power.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give up all of your authority.
Yep.
You're going to give up all of your status, all your riches, all your wealth, all your social status, everything. It is truly giving up everything immediately. Without hesitation, and dramatically changing your life, going from an exalted murderer of Christians to, you know, a lowly hunted member of the way.
Right. And so that was a difficult thing to respond to. Ananias, again, had to minister to somebody who moments ago was trying to persecute and kill him and his fellow believers.
Yeah.
Both were calls outside of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And we got to realize that God's going to confront us and call us, and often call us outside of our comfort zone, because that's not where growth occurs.
Right.
Growth doesn't occur in your comfort zone.
I like to be called right in my pocket, right in my comfort zone.
Hey, this is what I love to do. This is exactly what I want to do. That must be why what God's calling me to do. But there's work that God calls us all to do, and it's laid out for us in the Bible. God makes it clear again and again the things that we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Love others despite who they are. You know, care for the poor, and live our lives in such a way that we point to the power of the gospel.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and jump back into scripture. So 2 Timothy 1:8-9. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus.
Yeah, God has a calling on your life, something that only you can do uniquely, not because of who you are, right? Calling wasn't because of who Paul was. It was all because of the grace of God.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times the problem is we don't always get all of the details in that calling, because all really God told Paul was, you got to turn your act around, go to Jerusalem, and somebody's going to pray for you. He didn't get the details of, okay, you're going to go to Ephesus.
Right.
At this time, you're going to go to Rome, you're going to go to Colossae, you're going to go to Thessalonica. It was just a call to repentance and to be ready to respond. And that's the thing, is we must be ready to respond to God when he confronts us. When he confronts us for our sins or our mission and calling, there's an urgency to do kingdom work, and we must be ready to respond. And Rob, I think we need to respond to the question.
Okay.
What's in our glass now?
You have this one. I do know that. I got that right this time.
Yes, you did.
This is one I have not had in a while.
I have not had this in a while either. Weller Antique. Yeah. 107.
Had a conversation about this one yesterday.
Did we?
We were discussing the Weller line. Through the Weller line. Yeah. Because you were talking about how you were in line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There were only a few CYPD. Yeah, yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
it's
this is such a good pour. Actually,
I don't even have any right now, which as an Ohio guy is probably a sin, but yeah. I had two bottles.
It's more and more rare in Ohio now, though, too, isn't it?
I just don't go out.
Yeah.
It's not. If I tried, I would get it.
Okay.
I don't have as much time to go out, you know, every Saturday now. And the two bottles that I did have, a friend of ours needed, so.
You know who you are, and JV's sad. I'm just kidding. He's not sad. He's not sad at all.
I love that man. I'm just nosing it, and it's because it's been away. It's like catching up with an old friend. Yeah.
You're exactly.
Like, hey, man.
Like, oh, yeah.
Tell me about what's going on. Like, let's get back into scripture. Mm-hmm. In the book of Ephesians.
So, Ephesians 4, 1 through 2. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love.
Yeah.
Boy, that's hard.
Because Paul is saying, be ready to live out your calling and live a life that displays the love of Jesus, right? As you do what you're called to do, be humble.
Yeah.
Be gentle. That's not the American way. But that's how we are to respond as followers of Jesus, right?
Yeah. And point three, right, is we're to respond in reverence with humility, acknowledging that God is King.
Yeah, and so what we saw from Paul and Ananias, both Saul at the time, right?
Right.
Responded recognizing the authority of God. You know, Ananias responded immediately and said, yes, Lord, acknowledging that God is sovereign. And Paul is brought to humility in the presence of God the King. Ananias was ready in reference, right? Paul received his calling after he submitted to the authority of Jesus, because reverence of God prepares us for his work. You know, we can't set about doing kingdom work when we think we're better than God, right?
Doesn't work.
Most of us would say we don't think that we're better than God. But when we look at Saul and Ananias, we kind of see a different story. Both Saul and Ananias thought they knew better than God and had to turn from that into humility, right?
Yeah.
Saul thought he knew the will of God because he thought God wanted him to persecute Christians, right? He was a follower of God as a Pharisee. And he thought that was God's will, was to kill Christians. Right. Obviously, he didn't consult God on that one.
Right.
And it wasn't God's will. So he thought he knew better than God. Yeah. And it's a little more subtle in the case of Ananias, because Ananias questioned God a little.
Yeah.
You know, he thought he could tell God about Saul, right? He thought he could tell God about how bad a person Saul was and how dangerous he was.
Yeah.
So he thought he knew Saul better than God did. You know, Ananias had to be reminded of God's grace and that no one is beyond God's reach.
Yeah.
So we submit ourselves in humble reverence before God. Yes, Jesus wants to be our friend. Mm-hmm. He wants to be in a relationship with us. But we must recognize, and we can't take away from the fact that Jesus is the King of the universe, and he deserves our respect and our reverence.
Yeah, and going back to scripture, right, in Psalm 147:11, know the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Like you're saying, JB, and I mean, we've all done it to an extent, and in subtle ways. We obviously, I think we know people who do it in very unsubtle ways that think that they are above and better than and know better than God. But having that fear of God, having that fear and trembling of God, and knowing the appropriate hierarchy for the universe, right, is what that is. And those who put their hope in his unfailing love, knowing that the creator of all of the universe spoke everything into existence, is powerful and capable to take away our sin. Putting all of our hope in that unfailing love that he has for us, it's hard to describe because it sounds so simple. And it is simple, but it's not easy.
We just make it hard.
That's right. Yeah. People are good at that.
Yeah, even in Proverbs, we're told about having this reverence for God. When we say fear in Scripture, it's not, you know, like you're watching this scary movie and you're afraid of, you know, the monster chasing you. This is a reverence for mm-hmm. a being who can destroy you with you know, just a snap of his fingers, but extends you grace.
It's I think people think of it as what fear they would have if what fear they think people should have if they were God, because you know, we have one listener who I've heard say several times, God is a lot more patient than me because I would just turn people's heads into fishes and laugh at them because I can. So it's not, it's like you're saying, it's not that kind of fear. It's that we have translated things to English and they don't hold necessarily all of the, all of the weight and the clarity, which is why it's good to study your Bible and know the language things are written in, what it means, who it's written to, when it's written, all the context clues around that scripture. So JB alluded to Proverbs. I'm going to go ahead and go to Proverbs. You did. He tried to nudge me and I ignored. So
Proverbs. Go to Proverbs.
So Proverbs 14:26, those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children.
Yes. And so we must respond to God's confrontation in reverence, recognizing that he is king and he has full authority. God is to be revered, and we must be humbled. We must fully recognize God's holiness and submit to him in reverence if we are to do his will. And so when we go to Hebrews chapter 12, we hear Paul, remember Paul from earlier, the guy who was murdering Christians?
Paul.
And now he's super Christian. He wrote this. He said, so see to it that you obey him who is speaking to you. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, how terrible our danger if we refuse to listen to God who speaks to us from heaven. Since we have a kingdom nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and awe. For God is a consuming fire. That means that our service to God as Christians is marked with reverence, with joy, and with a recognition, because God is a God who is a consuming fire. Not in a way that we would be afraid that his flames would engulf us and destroy us, but that we would be in reverence of him, like we just spoke about. You know, the truth is God is a consuming fire. And that's a comfort to the believer. It's not something to be feared because we realize that the Father poured out his consuming fire on Jesus in our place. And when he did that, it completely consumed the guilt of sin. And all of us as Christians, the penalty of sin was consumed by Jesus on the cross. And so we must be ready to respond to God's confrontation, ready to hear his calling and with an open heart and mind. We must be respond to God and God's confrontation and reverence, recognizing he is king and has a full authority. And finally, we must respond right away. Don't hesitate or delay to respond to God when he confronts you. When Jesus confronted Saul, he responded immediately, and then went where he was called to go. Saul knew that, you know, after talking to Jesus, that was the path that he had to take. Ananias, while hesitant to begin with, goes as soon as he has finished talking to God. He got what he needed in that conversation with God, the encouragement to go and do it. He knew that that was where God was leading him, and he knew that that was the path he had to take. And so having reverence from God and accepting his calling means we must move into action. You know, we must realize that the path that God has for us, it's the best path for our lives, and we must respond like Ananias and Saul and head forward in that path without hesitation, because that's the best for us.
Jumping into, man, I keep jumping. Anyway.
Leaping into
Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Pirouetting. Ooh, I could pirouette.
Pirouette into this next passage. I mean,
that is a fancy way to do it.
That is so very fancy.
That is up my alley. So Matthew 4.
Charleston into the next.
4, 18 to 22. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind.
Sucker. They leave their dad. They leave their dad.
Right?
They like
throw fish.
Did they like throw their nets down in front and be like, "Take that"?
I think they did.
That's so mean, man.
That is mean.
They left their dad.
But I think the thing that we want to focus on, is the quickness at which they responded.
Get down with the quickness.
There was immediate.
Come on, get down with the quickness.
I've been thinking that like the whole time.
Have you really?
I've avoided it.
Good.
And then you just rolled
out
with it.
I'm so happy.
Good. So
take that.
Exactly. So, I mean, the scripture is very clear that it was immediate. Immediately they threw down their nets and followed him.
No hesitation.
Immediately they left their dear old dad in the boat and followed him. Immediately they turned and listened to what Jesus was telling them.
Yeah, and we can't glance over what they left,
right?
They left their job.
Their livelihoods.
Their livelihood, their equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, fishing equipment, not cheap.
No.
Have you ever bought, like, lures and sinkers?
It is expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
And to leave the boat and to leave their family.
Yeah.
You know, that's a legacy
that
they're leaving. Leave their identity.
Yeah, and I was going to come back to that. That is, you were known by your profession. You weren't known by much of anything else other than your profession.
Yeah, and they leave that behind to follow Jesus. An immediate response.
Yeah,
response. No hesitation. And they leaped. They pirouetted.
They did pirouette.
The Charleston.
Yeah.
So that begs us to think, you know, how are we going to respond when Jesus calls us? Are we going to hesitate and think, okay, well, God, this is what it really is. Maybe I don't need to go do that. And maybe I just continue to eat my Cool Ranch Doritos on the couch and watch The Office on repeat.
I like that. Sounds good.
I mean,
that sounds pretty good.
Or do we respond ready to follow Jesus?
Better. Yeah.
Do we respond sold out, devoted, you know, as followers of Jesus who stop at nothing to build the kingdom of God? So think about what he has called you to do and how you're going to respond to that. So God is going to confront you. The question is, how will you respond?
Yeah.
I encourage you to respond ready with an open heart, respond ready to hear his calling, respond in reverence with humility, acknowledging that God is king, respond right away, and don't hesitate or delay to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Amen, JB. Well said. Good summary. And I think with that, y'all, we'll be right back with our feature poll.
Perchance.
Perchance.
I'm perchancing now.
And we back.
Pork pop dab.
Welcome back, everyone. So yeah, we're back with our feature pour.
We are.
And today,
featuring it.
We are going to extend a theme that started in the last episode and is going to really honestly continue to the next.
So my question is, what animal do we morph him?
I know.
Like
poor Dixon.
Like, he's been a goat, a centaur. He's been a ninja.
I mean,
like, maybe we should just back off.
Maybe we should.
Before there's a restraining order just involved.
Just do a nice, I mean, it's a Kentucky straight bourbon. So maybe we just play it straight and don't turn him into any weird animals.
Yeah.
All right.
That doesn't track, though.
It doesn't. So 2XO, this is the Tribute Blend, a continuation of the series by Centaur Dixon Deadman of the 2x Oaked 2XO. The Tribute Blend is clocking in at 104 proof, 52%. ABV. No age statement. Again, it's a straight bourbon, so at least 4 years. Mash bill is undisclosed. It's again, it's another mix of high and low rye mash bills. $99.95, North Carolina, 2024. Each blend within this series bears its own name, its own logo. It's, you know, it's unique. It's inspired by the story behind it, right? So we had the Phoenix rising from the ashes, you know, kind of stepping away from a bad situation and really
So in that, he's the Phoenix.
He's the Phoenix.
So that was easy. If we go to the X-Men, mm-hmm. that makes him actually a female character, Jean Grey, who was the Phoenix.
Yes.
So this is the Phoenix Saga is what I'm hearing.
This is the Phoenix Saga. But that was last year that we covered that one.
Did we?
So we covered Phoenix last year.
Okay.
So Phoenix was last year, telling that story, kind of rising from the ashes from a situation that is better
so
now.
So you're saying, as the tribute blend, this is a cover band.
Correct. Yeah, no, but so still.
Which band is he tributing? The Monkees?
Foreigner? Ooh, Monkees. I like the Monkees.
Because that way we can, you know.
We can monkey around.
Yeah, he's yeah. now a monkey. So we got an animal.
Or we just
or the him, Eagles.
Or he's just a tribute
he's
for
the Eagles.
Or he's a tribute soaring. Band for the animals.
The Eagles. I like him soaring over Kentucky
yeah.
with his majesty and regality.
I mean, he is majestic.
And his.
Dixon is.
And his claws. His sharp talons.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, back to get back on point.
Fly higher than an eagle.
So each blend is different, bears its own name.
He is the wind beneath my wings.
It is inspired by the story behind it. The tribute blend is a nod. You're going to feel bad about this now because it's a nod to Dixon's parents and the path they paved for him.
I think they would be proud.
And you've just
been an eagle.
You've done an eagle and you've just pooped all over this path.
No, that's a good thing because. Eagles are freedom. They represent
do.
Majesty.
They screech freedom.
Power.
Yeah.
Yeah, the freedom screeches.
Yeah, they definitely screech freedom.
Years ago.
Years and years. So 2XO tribute blend.
I'm sorry, did I?
You kind of stepped all over that like eagle poop on a road.
Well, you know.
So
it's your fault.
Everything is my fault. This one is also a fresh crack. I've been saving these because
situations.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got other open bottles and you want to get through other open bottles, it's good color again, man.
Yeah.
These double oaked ones are.
All of these have been fantastic. So I'm trying to pace myself through these bottles because, you know, this series isn't coming back, right?
No. As much as we say, baby, come back.
Mm-hmm. No. So.
Mm-hmm. Is plum a cotton candy flavor?
Yes. So the plum cotton candy? Yeah, I can see
Am
that.
Am I crazy?
No, you're not. I'm getting red fruit and I'm getting sweet red stone fruit. So
I think we're going back to the carnival.
We are going back to the carnival. I think we did the carnival. We did a food truck for Kentucky Owl, I think.
Confiscated, yeah.
For Confiscated. And now
but this
smells way better.
Stone fruit. This is sweetness. Yeah. This is caramel. This is oak.
So this has some really nice oak on it. And I'm picking up some walnut. What it doesn't have that the last innkeeper had is I'm not picking that char.
Well, I don't think these. It's not a char.
No, it's not. It's not a char. The like, double oak is the. It's another new. It's a new barrel, not charred. Wow, that was
sure
a long way
charred?
To say that.
Charizard.
Well, it's a new barrel, not heavily charred. How's that?
Like red stone fruit, very prominent. So sweet, so oaky.
Mm-hmm. And it's got that, like I said, I'm still picking up some of that walnut. I'm not
getting walnut.
I'm not saying
you don't.
I get where you're coming from on the cotton candy, definitely.
It just smells super sweet.
Yeah. It's like a freshly spun, like I would go, I'd go to the food truck that's spinning cotton candy that smells like this.
I wish I had some cotton candy right now.
I mean, dip it in there. Heck yeah.
I think that's one of those things where you'd have to take the cotton candy, put it in your mouth, and then shoot a little because it'll...
Oh, it's going to disintegrate immediately, no matter what you do with it.
Yeah, but oh, it might be good mixed in. We call it the tribute
cotton candy blend.
No, that sounds. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. Let's just drink it. Shut up.
What all the listeners have wanted. All right,
oak, right on the front. Mm. Sweet.
It's incredibly sweet.
Sweet honey.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Caroline. Bum bum bum. That red fruit, mm-hmm. that red stone fruit comes through on the palate.
It does. Except for it's coming through as a cherry to me now versus the plum. You're still getting plum.
Yeah, it's not plum. No.
Yeah.
I get the aglet from a Nike Air Force.
Yeah. And now I have the Phineas and Ferb
aglet
song going through my head. So I appreciate that.
There's a note I can't figure out. I'm going to hit some water.
Yeah, I did some water. I have more spice than I expected.
It is. There is spice.
But I don't know exactly what spice it is.
I need to think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You can talk.
No, I don't think I can.
It's okay. I'm getting two weird notes.
Mm-hmm.
Lemongrass.
Okay.
It's not a joke.
No, I in my head, I'm like, I can, yes.
I get lemongrass, but you said spice, and that's what made me think first.
Yeah.
I get but it's almost like nutmeg.
Well, it's, I think it's the freshness of a lemongrass.
Yeah.
Is what I get. I understand the nutmeg. I think I get, I don't want to jump ahead. So I did a little bit of the chewing
it. You've been pirouetting all day.
I know. So when I chewed it is when I got the lemongrass.
All right, let me chew it.
I got the freshness that I couldn't place until you said lemongrass. Let me say that. And then also a spice bomb.
Lemongrass, I kid you not.
Mm.
There's a pepperiness.
Yeah, there is.
Like when it combines with that lemongrass,
mm-hmm.
it reminds me of arugula.
Interesting. I'm not picking up arugula.
No, I'm just saying it reminds
me. Yeah, I know that.
I said it reminds me of that fresh green. Mm-hmm. And say I tasted arugula.
Rewind,
or as Dave. They call it, rocket.
Rocket.
In England.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
It's rocket. We call it arugula. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
We won.
On the finish, this one's what I love about these is Phoenix Innkeeper Tribute, dramatically different pours.
Oh, yeah.
All delicious.
Yeah.
All delicious. I think my favorite is the Innkeeper, but that's because I like char and I like that mm-hmm. flavor. This, I think, is a more complex flavor.
There's a brightness to this palate, mm-hmm. too.
There is.
Which I think is where I get that lemongrass.
Yeah. And I definitely see that. On the finish, I get it. It gets creamy. That's where the nutmeg comes in for me, is that finish.
I had it on the palate, but, you know.
Okay, let me rephrase that. A good majority of the fruitiness dissipates on the finish. It's there in the background.
Yeah, I can see where the spices come more.
Yeah, come more forward.
Okay, yeah. The nutmeg does come out on the finish.
And I think that's where it really mm-hmm. comes through. And then the oak just carries through the finish.
Yeah.
And it's the right amount of oak.
Yeah.
It's oaky and not over-oaked.
Yes. Oaky dokey.
Yeah, so another really unique, delicious pour.
Yeah, it's an epic barrel ride over Niagara Falls,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Did you ever get those pictures taken when you were a kid? So we had family that
lived. What are you talking about?
We had a family.
You talked to trees when you were a kid?
We had family up in New York, and we would go visit them, and we would go to the falls.
Okay.
And there were all of these, you know, super... super touristy things you would go to. And it was like, you take a picture with your mom and dad in a bucket going over Niagara Falls. Not in a bucket.
Barrel.
The three of us wouldn't fit in a bucket, but in a barrel.
I wouldn't fit in a bucket.
In a barrel going over Niagara Falls. I don't know if it was a heavily charred barrel or not. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really paying attention to that when I was six.
Okay.
But you don't have any of those pictures? See,
here's
pictures.
The fancy Rob coming out. Did you summer in New York at the falls?
Yes, we were upstate.
We were upstate at our lake house, and we went to the falls. Mm-hmm. I got to go hang out by Lake Erie when I was a kid.
Did you get in a bucket in Lake Erie?
No, but I got in Lake Erie, and
I'm sorry. Did you catch on fire?
It was pretty nasty, but we one time accidentally busted open a snake den.
Oh,
it was scary.
That sounds terrifying.
So my uncle had a cottage right off.
My uncle had a cottage.
I know, but that was my uncle, not my family.
Okay.
So,
well, your uncle is your family.
Not like my.
What do you consider family?
I'm from humble beginnings. All right. So anyways, uncle had a cottage on.
It's uncle called cottage.
Uncle cottage. Little cheese. He had a cottage
uh-huh.
off of a river called the Two Saint River, which led into Lake Erie. Wow,
so a riverfront cottage.
Yes. Yeah. Talk about fancy. With the Davis Bessie power plant over yonder.
Oh, so you had unlimited power.
We did not.
In this,
so anyways, in this
riverside cottage.
We were they were working on the rocks along the bank in front of their cottage.
Oh, they had workers.
It was my cousin.
Man, these guys are fancy. And
they moved some rocks, and all of a sudden, these snakes just started
pouring. That sounds horrible.
It was terrible. Luckily, I was not in the water.
That is nightmare fuel.
Especially for a kid who used to run around, you know, Lake Erie on mopeds and shoot snakes with BB guns.
Okay.
I mean, which is...
Wow, so you had a lakeside cottage, you had mopeds, you had unlimited power...
I know. And
ammunition. I mean, this sounds... You're living the dream.
Yeah. Living the dream.
Hey, we can all paint pictures, right?
Yeah. No.
No.
I'm not a good painter. We all can't paint pictures.
All right, fine.
I need to go to one of those classes where they're like, paint this here, and everybody ends up drawing making the same painting.
Yeah, you should do an internship in New York.
At Pratt.
Yeah, at Pratt. 100%.
And then fail my... course on graphic design.
We're not here to cast stones,
dude. And she gave up.
She did give up. That's the worst part.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, that's okay. Yeah. Just deal with it.
Just wait for our office podcast
to come. What would we call our office podcast?
I don't. Casual that's Friday.
What she said
Casual Friday.
Casual Friday would.
I like Casual Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Coming soon, Casual Friday.
I doubt it, but well, you know, we can all dream.
That's right.
I don't know that. I don't have people want to hear us.
I don't have the bandwidth for another podcast.
I don't. Although it would be fun. So if we ever fail at the... wait, are we failing?
Wow.
Anyway, all right. We've been all over the place.
Yeah, I'm going to be editing this.
All over the map today. Yeah. So we've been to Lake Erie. Mm-hmm. We've been to Scranton, Pennsylvania.
We have.
We've been flying high with the Eagles. We've
been upstate New York.
Upstate New York with my monocle.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's a relationship with Jesus is what matters most in our lives. You know, we can be happy about all the possessions that we have, all of our fancy trips to New York with our family, all of our fancy pictures of us in a barrel with our fancy
our parents. Dens of snakes.
our denizens.
Denizens of snakes.
And so what matters... We're going to bring it back. If you don't know what it means to have Jesus as your savior, you know, if you have questions, you know, maybe you feel lost. Maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you feel confused. Jesus is the answer. You know, when I dealt with anxiety, when I dealt with depression, coming to Jesus is what healed me, what began to make me whole. And living out a life with Jesus is what helps me to deal with those things in my life. So if you don't have Jesus as your savior, we encourage you, reach out to us. We want to answer any questions you have. We want to help you walk through that, disciple you as you go through that process. So if they want to reach out to us, Rob, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So you can reach out to us at Rob or JB at jbbibleandbourbon.com. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social is going to have all the ways that you can like, comment, share, subscribe to our audio and video podcast. All of our audio podcatchers are there. If you want glorious HD video with wonderful beards, which
you have Kit driving you.
Right. And you have Kit driving you. YouTube and Rumble are there for that. We have a Patreon at our Apostle and Disciple tier. You get monthly time with JB and I and year-end gifts. Also, at our Apostle tier, you get a den of snakes.
Fresh from the Two Saints River.
I think that's, that's intriguing enough. No, at our Apostle tier, you get to come on an episode with us and walk through the scriptures and walk through a message with us, share the poor with us, whatever pieces and parts of that you're comfortable with. Or again, as we retain our status as the most witness protection friendly podcast in the world.
That's
I'm calling it out.
Okay.
I'm making stickers.
That's a bold claim.
I'm just gonna start slapping them on things.
Yeah, just everywhere.
Everywhere.
All of the wares.
So if you don't want to be on camera because witness protection.
You snitched.
You rolled over on somebody.
Snitches get snitches.
That's right. But not here.
No,
not here.
No.
You get the opportunity to invite someone else in. JB's almost ruined my little bit about being witness protection friendly.
Yes.
So jbbibleandbourbon.com/social is going to have all of that information.
Yeah, my friends, thank you for joining us on this weird... we started out saying it was a pirate trip, so it kind of... It's kind of like a
pirate. It's been a voyage, what you're saying.
So thank you for joining us on this episode of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. So until the next time, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
See y'all next time.